Thank you for spending another midweek moment with WPT. I'm Paul Ruzeski. Today is Wednesday, the 21st of August, 2024. I do have to say, in the most sincere way, Happy Poets Day. It's celebrated today. Looking ahead, it seems that we have some good weather lined up for the rest of the week. And on another note, I'm going to point out that this week's winner of the most irrelevant and unnecessary Hallmark holiday of the week on Saturday is Can Opener Day. It's not recognizing an accomplishment or group of people or something to advocate for, so who really knows why this exists, but it gives me the opportunity to throw out a did you know. The canning of food started to happen in the early 1800s, but it wasn't until 1870 that the first rotating wheel can opener was patented. But even then, it had to be punctured somehow to get it started. The second serrated wheel was added in the 1920s, so a good century, 100 years of having canned food before a decent opening option existed. Be grateful for the little things. Do not take anything for granted, my friends, because you never know how the future will play out. A good example of that is on Saturday, which is Pluto Demoted Day, which is when Pluto's official title went from planet to dwarf planet. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Anyway, enough of these rabbit holes. Let's jump into some news together. Let's start off with an update that was in the weekly Insider email newsletter for WPT members. There's an article on the Wisconsin Veterans Museum. The state, in its plan to help the Veterans Museum find a permanent home, approved purchasing the building where the museum has its temporary location. It's in downtown Madison on the Capitol Square, and $22 million was approved for the opportunity to tear down an existing structure and erect a new building. Well, after the approval was announced, it comes out that the owners have a different plan and want to develop apartments there instead. So let's quickly dig in here. I've no inside information here, but what do I see? First, I assume the $22 million amount wasn't just pulled out of thin air. There had to be ongoing conversations with the building's owners to know what the likely purchase price would be and that there was a likelihood that they could purchase the building. Government wouldn't be attempting to allocate or approve money without knowing there was a likelihood of a deal being completed, because then the owner brings up a technicality that would disqualify the state from the opportunity of buying the building. My first reaction is that it smells like not negotiating in good faith. Granted, the owner must be savvy with the buying and selling of real estate to own a building on the Capitol Square. Use your advantages and create leverage when you can improve your position. I can't blame a real estate mogul for acting like a real estate mogul, but my frustration is that it's going to fall back on the taxpayer. It's a safe bet to assume that this is about leverage to drive up the price, because this is the name of the game in real estate. It's likely that this goes to court and burns taxpayer money fighting for the opportunity to be able to buy the building. And if the state wins, it's already in a position where they've showed their hand. Granted, I don't know what the market value is of the building, and although it sounds dumb to say it out loud, is $22 million a lowball offer on the building that is getting torn down regardless? I don't know. What I do know is that it sucks when it feels like Jack and the Beanstalk, and I'm on the side of the slow, clumsy ogre. Yes, I appreciate the idea that it'll allow grade school kids to be exposed to some history and plant the seeds of understanding. When they tour the Capitol, they can go across the street and see a veterans museum. That our freedoms and liberty come at a high price that they don't quite yet appreciate is important to at least give them, but it already feels like a pretty steep price, which also shifts even more tax burden onto the shoulders of other property owners when that building, that plot of land, isn't paying property taxes anymore. Anyway, I'll be interested to see if the state does end up acquiring this and at what price. Hopefully the owners haven't created a bidding war scenario that you and I are going to be on the hook for. In other news, and on the effort of trying to find solutions, the governor's task force on healthcare and workforce, a quick reminder, I'm here for you because I slogged through paragraphs of blah, 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 bloated mission statement explanations on what the goals were for this, which really boiled down to suggest ideas that Evers can put in the next budget to improve the workforce and patient care. Great. I went into this with realistic expectations, similar to the same mentality when I have any sort of presentation or training or event that I'm attending. If I can learn a few things and come away with one or two, maybe three quality ideas out of all of the information that maybe could turn into actionable items, I'll count that as a win. Well, yeah. As I scan the summary of 10 recommendations and 26 items from industry leaders and experts, I see a few ideas about improving internships, on-the-job training, apprenticeships, reducing other barriers to entry for employees, which is awesome. But most of what I see as I scan down the list is expand this 100% forgivable loan program, increase state support, support XYZ grant, direct funding to institutions of higher education, cover costs associated with blah, blah, blah. Oh, I love this one. Provide additional state funding to continue this program at its current level. And I get it that prices have gone up. It just sounds like more of the same. And it goes on and it goes on. Provide additional state funding for blah. Fund blah, blah, blah grant. Increase funding to boost blah. I could keep going, but that's just scanning the first four of 10 recommendations. But you get the idea and the trend. And it is exactly the same throughout the whole thing. Here's a shocker. The list of 25 experts are all either directors or CEOs of healthcare providers, some association presidents that are partially funded by healthcare providers, or teachers that are training people to be employable, which means learn your industry enough to play by the rules of the healthcare providers. And in the end, they did exactly what they were asked to do. Come up with a bunch of ways for the government to spend more money into an industry that's already one of the most money-bloated, frustrating, inefficient, need of an overhaul categories in our modern society. Isn't that super? And finally, I will pull something from the You Can't Make This Stuff Up file. For the first time in nearly 40 years, the Environmental Protection Agency issued an emergency order. Came out earlier this month. This had to be something important. The emergency order was to immediately suspend the use of the pesticide dimethyl tetrachloroterephthalate. Yes, I practiced that a couple times. I still probably butchered it. Also known as DCPA or otherwise known as Dactyl. Quote, DCPA is so dangerous it needs to be removed from the market immediately, unquote. It's used on veggies like broccoli, onions, and cabbage, and it could cause changes to fetal thyroid hormone levels in pregnant women that were, quote, generally linked to low birth weight, impaired brain development, decreased IQ, and impaired motor skills. This came about as the EPA acted while the chemical was undergoing a periodic review. So, out of curiosity, I did some research and discovered when Dactyl was introduced to the market. And what's your guess the year that Dactyl was introduced to the market as a pesticide? Drumroll, please. The EPA realized with urgency to suspend the use of a pesticide that has been available since 1958. Another great example of being on the side of the slow, clumsy ogre. In closing, and on that note, I will leave you with a quote so old it's from a Latin proverb, with author unknown, and I quote, Posque sero quam nunquam. The direct translation into English is, better late than never. Have a great second half of your week, and as always, thanks for listening. Wisconsin Property Taxpayers Inc. is a nonpartisan membership organization consisting of thousands of small business, farm, and homeowner members in every freaking awesome corner of the state. Founded in 1985, the organization is committed to providing its members with up-to-date information, legislative advocacy, and exclusive cost-saving benefits. Find out how to join at wptonline.org/join.